Radio 212, comm check.
DPS, go. Inco, go. PUS, go. Surgeon, go. Booster, go. Copy that, we have a go from you guys.
This is Talking Sound.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's installment of the Talking Sound podcast. I am Chris Jordan, your host for the podcast, and this is the only podcast on the internet that is completely and solely dedicated to audio engineering and the art of sound. Today on the podcast, we're going to be talking about mixers. I know last time we talked about cleaning and maintaining mixers. This time around, we're going to talk about different types of mixers, for all the way from single input mixers to a standard format soundboard to DJ mixers, and even go over a little bit of digital control surfaces for studios. So let's go ahead and take a look at what we have up first. What we have up first is just a straight channel mixer. This is very simple, very straightforward. There's not a whole lot to it. You really just have, this is an old analog version from Radio Shack. This is actually the original version that I started recording with. It's four inputs mono right here, or you can hit a switch and make it stereo, and you can see where each channel becomes left and right. This one in particular, I happen to have modded with this little switch here that allows the left channel input to become a fifth channel, so it actually becomes a five-channel mixer. Now, basically, what you're doing with a mixer is taking more than one source of audio and bringing them together to make one palette. And to do that, you basically bring up one input and bring up the other one in perspective. So let's say if your first input was drums and your second input was guitar, you know, you would probably want the guitar to lay in the mix a little bit more than the drums, so you would want to bring that input up a little bit more than the drum level. So That's a basic rundown of a very simple mixer. Let's take a look here at our standard format mixer. Here's our standard format mixer, which we are a little bit more familiar with from last time. This is actually the exact same board that we cleaned last time. And as opposed to that, which just had quarter-inch inputs on the back and RCAs, this one actually has XLR inputs. Now, the difference is quarter-inch and RCA are what is known as unbalanced input. That means that basically there is not a loop to ground. So you're a lot more susceptible to noise. You're a lot more susceptible to RF signals, which are the crazy little sounds that you get whenever you get near power lines or lighting cables on a stage. What stops that is the loop to ground. So if you take a look here, you can see that the XLR inputs have three prongs on it. These inputs here, the quarter inches, are what are called balanced on this. Now, once again, on the previous mixer that we had, we have unbalanced inputs right here. You can see we have quarter inch and RCA. These right here are a three input, which is tip ring sleeve, as opposed to just standard tip ring, like a guitar cable. That third input is a connection to ground, which is what helps stop all the noise and hum. Beyond your input, you have what's called your gain. And on your gain knob, the way I like to explain it to people is, imagine your mixer strip here like a gutter system on a house. You have the roof of your house, and you have what goes out to the street. So basically, the difference between gain and volume is gain is like the water coming into your gutters. That is where your signal begins. Volume is what comes out of the gutters. That's what's going out to the street for everybody in the world to see and hear. So one is as the channel is coming in. The other is as the channel is coming out. So really, you want a little bit more gain typically than you do volume, because that's where your pure rich tone is going to come from. The lower your gain is, then the lower in perspective the frequencies are going to be. So you want to keep your gains right up around 12 o'clock as much as possible. Some things have a hotter signal than others, so you'll be lower. After your gains come your tone controls. This one this soundboard here actually only has three, high, mid, and low. Some of them have high mids and low mids. Those give you a little bit more control. Basically, your lows are everywhere from about 20 to 100 hertz. Then you've got your mids, which are about 100 to 200, and your highs after that. So to get rid of crispy sounds like S's, sibilant S's, like that right there, sibilant S, you would want to drop your high ends down a little bit. If you wanted to get rid of a plosive P, you would want to lower your lows a little bit. So that's a basic overview of what your tone knobs do. Before, we actually covered this little switch right here, which is a dB reduction. And if you notice, it says 80 hertz right there. 80 hertz. And what that does is stop the extreme low ends, which are normally where you get rumbles from kick drum mics, from microphone stands on stage, things like that. So if you bump that little button right there, it actually permits an immediate low end roll off and keeps you from having to do much frequency sweep over here. Now, the main thing that you want to be careful for is accentuating on your EQs. You don't want to try to accentuate too much, because at that point you're actually adding noise to your signal. You're really going a little bit, you're adding to the range of the input that you've put in, so it's technically adding small amounts of noise. Beyond that, you have your monitor input, which on this you can see is labeled pre, and then here is your effects. This has a monitor and effect. The effect is post. Pre means anything that's happening is going out of that input, or out of that output rather, the monitor output, before it hits anything else. So it's coming straight out of here, straight to here. It's not going through the volume fader or anything else. The effect, however, is post, which means until you bring that fader up, the effect is going to have no effect on your signal. The reasoning behind that is because sometimes on your monitor signal, which is going to stage, to speakers, things like that, you actually want to be able to provide sometimes an independent feed to a musician of something that is not necessarily going to your house feed. So let's say they need a little bit of bass, and the bass is loud enough in the room. If you put it through the speakers, it's too much. You can keep the bass out of the system on mute, yet still it will be going out through the monitors on the pre-monitor channel. Beyond pre and post, which on this, as I said, is monitor and effects send, is your left and right pan. That obviously center, where it says C, is center. That makes sure that things are heard equally left and right. If you wanted to make something a little more present in the left channel, you would turn it to L. If you wanted to make something more present in the right-hand channel, you would turn it to R. That is pretty simple and self-explanatory. Beyond that is your mute button. That controls whether or not the sound from anything previously is going out to your main outputs. Now, right here, we've got our channel outs, and you can see they all lead over here to our master output. And that master output is what controls what it's going to out to your record, to your broadcast, to your house sound system, anything like that. So once again, if you wanted to stop something from going to that channel or from going out to the main channels, you would hit the mute button. Now, coming over here, we have a few things like monitor send, which is where you would go out to the amplifier to your monitor speakers. You have effects send, which is where you would go to external effects if you wanted to. This system actually has built-in effects, so they are automatically armed, and if you wanted to use an external effect, you would hit this nifty little effect defeat button, which means it cancels the internal effects and lets you use the effect output to an external rack effect or something like that. Now, right over here, if you notice, we have the effect returns, which are 1 and 2. We've got channel 7 and 8, channel 9 and 10, and those on this board act as the effect return. And the way to tell that immediately is that these two channels have the same fader color as these channels right here. So that makes it very easy. Most of the time on your soundboards, on most large format soundboards and multi-input soundboards, you're actually going to have color-coded knobs, as we talked about before, to separate the different areas. Right here, all of our gains are black, all of our EQ controls are blue, all of our pre-EQs are a dark maroon, all of our post-EQs are a light maroon, which match this right here. And then, in order to get things out, you have the master output for each one of those. So it goes across the board and out. And same thing here, across the board and out. Now, in addition to those, you also have a headphone output where you can monitor things. This particular board does not have the function called PFL, or pre-fade listen. What that does is actually allow you to listen to a channel while it is mute and not going to stage or house or record. So you can basically listen to a channel beforehand and actually get a concept of what it sounds like, get your EQing down. You can even bring in the effects, bring in delays, distortions, things like that, and hear what they sound like before you take them live. So boards with PFL are a very good function. They're fantastic. They're very helpful. That's also known as solo, especially on boards like Mackie, things like that. They're labeled as solo as opposed to PFL. It's really the same function. Most of that is assigned over here in this area as far as what your headphones are listening to, whether you're listening to the main mix or if you're listening to the pre-fade listen or the solo channel. Now, coming up next, we have what would kind of be a marriage between the board that we just looked at and the board that we looked at previously. And that would be what's known as a rack mount mixer. Now, a rack mount mixer is just a little bit different. A rack mount mixer lets you put all of these things into a rack mount format, which makes it very easy to transport. You don't have to carry a separate case for it. It can live right in the rack with the rest of your effects. These are often used by people like keyboardists, stuff like that. It's also great for submixes. I personally use one for being able to mix different effects into one channel. I do a lot of electronic music, so my mixing needs are a lot different than a normal, typical musician. Now, this right here is actually a Behringer product. Don't hate me for that, everybody. They actually make some decent stuff, some really good stuff. This unit right here has a monitor effects loop, so you can set it to monitor or effect. You can listen to one side or the other. You can also go through and balance it left and right. It's got a level for each channel, as well as a mute. And a nifty function that it has is this mute button also acts as a clip light. So whenever things get to the point of distortion, it actually lights up. Our other board, unfortunately, looking at it just to make sure, did not have a clip light on it. So most boards have a clip light right underneath the gain. It's a tiny little red light, just a tiny LED, and whenever you get to the point of distortion or nasty sound on the preamp, that will start to glow. So going back to our mixer here, this is a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 input mono mixer or 16 input stereo. So each one of these channels will take either a stereo input or a mono input and allow you to mix them all down to one common output. And over here on the output channels, we have a separate headphone mix so you can actually listen to your stuff live, get things down a little bit better. You can actually change this between monitor send and effects send, which are these controls right here on the channel, as well as being able to balance the amount of signal coming to the main output left and right. And then right here, you actually have an independent volume for headphones. So looking at the back of this mixer, we have all of our inputs left and right, as well as a nifty little pad button right here for plus and minus. If you see, that says plus 4 dB, minus 10 dB. Now, the difference between that is what type of product you're using. Most professional products, most of your things that are professional sound products, will actually have a negative 10 dB rating, which means a very low noise level. Most of your things that are plus 4 are things like phono inputs, phono outputs, a lot of DJ mixers, things like that. So a lot of lower impedance devices where you have things like cell phones, CD players, where you're trying to go from eighth inch to RCA, stuff like that. That's where most of the difference lies between plus 10, negative 10 dB. So whenever you see that, and let's say you plug in your stuff and it just doesn't have the oomph it's supposed to, pop that button, and I guarantee you, you'll notice an immediate difference. So moving on from there, we have a nice little Haas here by Numark. This is the ICD Mix 2, and this is actually a DJ mixer. And this mixer right here is used for mixing CD inputs. This actually has numerous inputs on it. It's got two CD decks. It's also got an iPod dock where you can scroll through your iPod and actually be able to live mix your iPod as well. And if you notice, each one of these channels for the iPod, for the CD, are all duplicated. Every one of these inputs are the same, so that you have the same control over every input at a fingertip's notice. You don't have to go through like you do at a rock and roll show and listen to things independently and route them. This is made for immediate mixing of different sources within moments. So it's a little bit different layout. So if you notice, every channel has independent headphone mixes. You can also switch between different types of inputs on each one. Each one of these has this here is your iPod, an auxiliary, which lets you plug in any kind of external CD player or device through RCA channels. It's got a mic 2 input, which lets you plug in an RCA or quarter inch mic. You also have an independent mic channel here with its own on-off switch, which allows you to be able to talk over the music. Here in the middle, well, let's go on to the next input, which is CD deck 1. Here on each channel, you have each channel's volume. You have treble, mid, bass mix. You also have gain again, which once again lets you adjust the amount of input coming into the mixer. Volume is the amount going out. So remember that. If you're listening to your stuff and it sounds really distorted, either try turning down your input and raising your gain, or if that doesn't work, lower your gain, raise the output on your device, and then mix from there. Now, from this side of the board, from these inputs, we're going to move right here to the crossfader. Now, what the crossfader does is allow you to switch between either your iPod or CD and the other CD jack right over here, which, once again, each one of these has both CD control right here for the deck that's built in, as well as a line phono jack, which lets you bring in an external thing, any kind of external device that you'd like to that has RCA inputs. Now, a very popular thing for stuff like this are different types of DJ effects, like chaos pads, which I love using, things like that that have RCA outputs. So that's exactly what you would tie into your line phono mix, would be something of that sort. At that point, you move over here to the master fader, which I actually, just to avoid DJs from going too far on my master fader, I actually preset my master fader on this and then literally ripped the knob off. That way nobody could go beyond my preset point of output and blow any kind of inputs on a soundboard in a club or anything like that. Now, from your master input, you have your zone mix, which lets you listen to different parts. You can mix between your stereo inputs, your mono inputs, different inputs on the soundboard itself to hear what they sound like individually. And over here you have your cue mix, which is listening to each side independently. So that gives us, and here's a little fun thing right here on the side of each CD deck. We have pitch changers where you can speed up and slow down the track that's playing. You have play, pause. You can record loops, so you can set an endpoint, set an out point, and hit the loop button and let that just keep going and going and going. You can cue your points, all kinds of fun stuff with a DJ mixer. So depending on what you're trying to do and what your inputs that you're mixing are, really decides exactly what mixer you are using. Now, going from analog, we aren't going to go to full digital, full-on digital platforms, some of the virtual mixers, things like that. We're going to go a little bit different route because those are really a digital form of outboard gear mixed with soundboards, and I would like to cover those in and of themselves in a show with someone here who really, really uses them in a studio and in live uses a lot more regularly than I do myself. I've used them numerous times, but I will admit I am much more of an analog man than a one and zero fan. So most of the gear that I use is really more analog based, even though I do use digital and am used to hooking up digital, recording with it, and everything else. Today, what we're going to look at is actually a control surface, and there's a reason for that. Now, on this control surface, it's a little bit older, but I have it for a reason. It's a PV Studio mix. The nifty thing about the PV Studio mix, if you notice this little fader here that's fighting me, these have automated faders. Now, the difference between this and the analog mixers that we were looking at previously is that this is actually used to digitally control your DAW or digital audio workstation. Things like Pro Tools, Logic, Cakewalk, Reaper, in any of the programs really that you use to do multi-track recording with. And the reason why it doesn't have a whole lot of controls in it is because you really use these buttons here to bounce between controls of what these knobs are doing. So you can actually set these knobs to control different parameters inside of your system. You can go in and in the control surface settings, set the top knob to control gain, for instance, set the bottom knob to control you can set the bottom knob to control pan. You can set this button here to control your record activation for the channel, and then this fader to control your volume up and down real time, and actually set your system to record your movement. So as you move the fader, it will record that movement. Specifically, that's useful for boards like this because this control surface in particular has motorized faders. So the motorized faders will actually act as nifty little ghosts, and while you are replaying a track and recording another one, the faders will actually move in real time the way that you recorded them, which is really nice and very handy because you can actually go through and re-record positionings and have things auto-mix themselves as stuff goes through. And over here you can see I've pre-labeled some of these. These were left and right controls. This right here was being able to get to different menu functions. This was changing views on my console so I could change between effects or channels. Here's a shuttle and jog knob, so you can actually scroll through your audio with this second by second, or you can just straight fast forward by going left and right. Up here are what are called all your transit controls, which are forward, backward, play, stop, record. And then here are separate inputs for universal mic gain, line gain, mix gain, or mix output rather, to be able to listen to what you've just recorded real time, or and then monitor to listen to what you are recording real time. And then you can switch your monitors. Now, I said that there was a specific reason for showing you this. It wasn't just for the use of VSTs, which are, you know, virtual sound systems for, like, synthesizers, things like that, for a control surface for your recordings. A nifty thing about this is that it is full-on MIDI controlled. So this can control anything that is MIDI controllable. You can set this mixer here to control virtual things on your synthesizers. You can set this to actually control DMX via MIDI, and you can control lighting shows with it. So control surfaces and even some digital consoles with USB outputs and FireWire outputs can be configured in very, very interesting ways to be able to give you numerous, numerous different options. So once again, just taking a look at things, you know, going from simple analog to complex analog to all the way into digital, once again, your purposes for mixing really decide what your console is all about. And myself, I use a multi-input standard console for just about everything that I do. I have line input consoles for mixing straight RCA signals in racks. It really depends on what show I am doing as to what gear I bring to the show. So it's good throughout your career, whenever you can, to invest in different options. Give yourself different ways to move as both an artist and an engineer in what you're doing. The more formats of boards you are familiar with, the more ready you will be to mix at any venue you go into, no matter what the console is, and you'll be much more familiar with numerous formats and layouts of sound consoles and boards. So that gives us a little bit better understanding of the different options that are available to us out in the market. There are numerous other options other than that. Those are just some of them that I happen to have handy and laying around. We'll go into more depth, as I said, in later shows as far as DAWs or digital audio workstations, as well as full-on digital consoles such as PreSonus, Behringer, Neve, all kinds of different things. So on that note, that pretty much wraps it up for this edition of the Talking Sound Podcast. Please don't forget to check us out online, www.talkingsoundshow.com, www.talkingsoundshow.com. Also, feel free to check us out on Facebook. Feel free to find us on Twitter. And feel free to check out the YouTube. For those of you who've been listening, we also have our podcast available on YouTube with video of everything that we're doing, so you can actually see the buttons that we're moving, knobs that we're turning, buttons that we're pushing, knobs that we're turning, faders that we're moving, things like that. So on that fumble of a note, I think we'll call that a show. And make sure to tune in next time when we'll be talking about guitar effects and how to use them. So until next time, everybody, keep reaching for 11 on that amplifier. And stay tuned for our next broadcast.